Thank you. Good morning. My word, you're all looking good. It's great to see you all. A warm welcome to each and every person to our worship service this morning. Great to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day. And as you were driving to church this morning or walking to church this morning, you see the changes all around us. Trees are all changing. The colours are all coming in. And once again, God is giving us that great reminder that this is God's world. He is in control, and he is with us, and he is all around us, and he just loves us like anything. The couple who greeted you as you came in this morning, you probably saw them. You know who they are, Bruce and Sharon Bird. Are they in yet? It's their 12th wedding anniversary today. Woohoo! And there's Sharon just coming in there now. Where is she? She's shy. She's not coming in. But that's great. It's great when we have anniversaries and birthdays in our church family. Good to see everyone. I hand you into the good hands of Betty Ann. Thank you.
Good morning. We have several announcements today that aren't in the bulletin, and I'll start with those. First of all, the Legion had an event yesterday, and they had extra corn. So in the foyer, you will see a bag of corn and some smaller bags, and you're welcome to take some home and cook it up for your supper tonight. Secondly, we have a letter from Michelle's nephew, Ryan, a thanks for our support, and a little bit of background if anyone wasn't able to be here last week and hear Michelle do a presentation. So it's on the bulletin board, and there are copies that you could take if you'd like to read the background. Okay, the ones that are in the bulletin then, Ladies Bible Study will start Thursday morning, October the 4th. And I guess it isn't just for ladies. Any gentleman who's free on a Thursday morning might be welcome to join. The Ladies Christian Fellowship held their meeting this past Thursday, and we're hoping to go to Airdrie for an event on Wednesday evening, the 7th of November. But I've forgotten the name of the event or where it's held. So somebody will let us, or with a better memory, will update us. And next Sunday is a potluck. So we would welcome folks to bring something to share to eat, and get to know one another better over some fellowship. Tuesday the 25th is the official board meeting, and everyone is welcome to come that evening at 7:30 to catch up on how the church is being organized. And the food bank donations started this week, and there are boxes in the foyer, so if you remember, over the next few weeks, we will happily receive them and see that they get to people who are in need in our communities. Does anyone else have an announcement? Yes. So that was regarding the church calendar, which Michelle will have printed off. If you haven't a mailbox and would like one, let Michelle or Ian know. And there will be copies of the calendar so that those of us who like to be list people can fill in our calendars. Any other announcements? If not, I'm finished.
So you got that, men? You are invited to the Ladies' Bible Study group. Okay? Don't get killed in the stampede. Can the men also go to this thing in Airdrie?
I don't know.
If you want to go to Airdrie on Wednesday night, you can go there as well.
It was a good idea, but I didn't write it down.
It'll be a surprise when you get there. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. We hear the word of the Lord from Proverbs chapter 2. If you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. I'd like to welcome Pat to, she's not going to come up here because that would be difficult for her, but she will lead us in our approach choruses. Thank you, Pat.
You're welcome. So the approach choruses today all come out of the Red Book, and they're all ones you know, they're all older ones that we've done lots of times. So the first one is Lord, I Lift Your Name on High, 199 in the Red Book. And would you please stand?
Lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show.
For our next one, we're going to sing Thy Word, number 234 in the Red Book. To bring us into worship, number 176, Lord be glorified. And we'll sing the Lord in my life, and then in your church, and then back again to in my life.
Thank you, Pat, for those approach choruses to lead us into our worship today. We bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious, our loving Father, we give you thanks, Lord, that you have given to each of us here this day, this glorious privilege, this wonderful joy of being able to come together in your house on this your day. And as we gather, Lord, we gather with hearts which are full of thanks and grace for all that you do for us. We come to a church, Lord, and we drive here and we see the trees changing, and we are reminded, Lord, that this is your world, that you are with us, Lord, that you are all around us. And as you are glorified in nature, we hope and we pray, and our aim, Lord, is to glorify you today in our worship. So as we worship, Holy Father, we pray that you will open our hearts, that you will open our minds, that you will speak to each and every one of us, Lord. We know you will speak, Lord. We pray that you will help us to hear you. And we pray, Holy Father, that you will accept the praise that we bring as we seek to lift high the name of Jesus, the name which is above every name. Accept the praise we bring, Lord. We worship you in the name of Jesus, and we pray, Father, in the words that Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen.
If you would join me in the responsive reading. There are some discrepancies in the bulletins, so if you'd like to follow on the screen, it will work well. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge.
They have no speech, they use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens God has pitched a tent for the sun.
The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is pure.
Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Glory be to God.
I'd like to now invite Pat, if you would now present for us special music. Thank you, Pat.
So the song that I'm going to sing for you today, I've only really had it in this key, those of you who know music will know what I mean, for about a week. I heard it on the radio, and I was like, oh, I need to sing that song. It also has special meaning. I just think that every day is a gift to us, and so it's 10,000 reasons. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship your holy name. Day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praises. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship your holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship your holy name. I'll worship your holy name. Lord, I'll worship your holy name. sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name. I'll worship your holy name. I'll worship your holy name.
You know, some people can't sing, and some people can't play the piano, and some people can't do either. And some people can do both. And on top of that, they can read music, like 6 feet of music spread out in front, all at the same time. Pat, that was beautiful. Thank you so much, and thank you for sharing it with us. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. The commissioning of the Sunday school. The commissioning of the Sunday school and teachers and the youth group leaders is a service of dedication of those who are called to be God's representatives and workers in his church, and in this situation in particular with our Sunday school and with our youth group. And for the past 3 years, I think it is, Andrea and Susan have looked after very capably our Sunday school, and they know how much work is involved in doing that, fulfilling that particular role. First of all, let's say thank you to Andrea and Susan for a great job. Phil, you pass that on to Andrea. She's obviously working today. But we really do appreciate the work that they have done. And because of its significance and its importance, it is a part of our church offices that they be commissioned before this church congregation and in the sight of God. So at this point in time, would those who have been called to be teachers and helpers in the work of the Sunday school and the youth group please come forward now. And I'll tell you at this point in time, which you probably already know, that excuse me, Chelsea and Sharon are taking over the running of the Sunday school, and Courtney Sheehan is our director of youth activities, I think it's called. But anyway, she's somebody important in the youth. Courtney can't be here today. So Chelsea and Sharon and anybody else who has been called in to help with the Sunday school, anybody who's going to be involved in any shape or form, please come forward now. Here they all come. Everybody who's involved.
We'll have a scripture reading from Ephesians chapter 4. St. Paul writes, "I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ."
The Declaration of Faith. Teachers and helpers, I ask you before God and this congregation, do you profess your faith in God, your Heavenly Father, in Jesus Christ, your Saviour and Lord, and in the Holy Spirit, your teacher and guide? If this is so, please answer, I do. Do you accept the responsibilities of teaching and nurturing and directing the Christian faith of Christ's children and youth as entrusted to your care? And do you promise to faithfully fulfill your duties? If this is so, please answer, I do, God being my helper. Would the congregation please stand? Brothers and sisters in Christ, will you pledge your support to the work of God in this congregation under the Sunday school and youth group leadership of these today being commissioned? Will you promise to pray for them and support their work as God directs your heart? Are you willing to take on this great responsibility? If this is so, please respond, we are willing, God being our helper.
We are willing, God being our helper.
Thank you. Please be seated. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Almighty and most merciful God, who has chosen your church to make your name most glorious and have received us into its blessed fellowship, we thank you that we may be fellow laborers with you, and that amidst a variety of abilities you give to us all the same Spirit, that amidst differences of expression, it is you, the same God, who works in all. We commend to you now, Lord, these who have been especially called to work in the Sunday school and the youth group of your church. O Shepherd of the souls of mankind, who calls these to feed your flock and nurture your lambs, bestow upon them your favour. They stand in the place of Christ to make him and his ways known to your children and to us. Sacred is their task, for they interpret you to the minds that are impressionable and formative, and they establish in the hearts of the young a love for all that is eternal and divine. Father, the task is too great for them of themselves, but you have promised to them, I am with you always, and upon that promise they depend. We ask these things, Lord, through Jesus Christ our Saviour, the head of the church on earth and in heaven. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our King, and by the authority of this congregation, I do hereby declare you properly installed as teachers and helpers in the Sunday school and youth group of this church, and so set apart for the holy services of God's kingdom here on earth. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen. We thank these faithful people for their dedication to the Lord's service for the next period of time. Thank you. Oh yes, very important, we have Bible presentations which Chelsea and Shine are now going to do here. Your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we are ever thankful for your goodness to us. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring these our gifts. They are but humble tokens of our gratitude. We ask you, Father, to accept these gifts and to accept the givers, for we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake, amen. Thank you. Thank you. Georgia was looking up at me there with apprehension in her face. What's he going to do to us now? Good job. Thank you so much. And now we stand and we sing to the glory of God the hymn number 87. We're singing verses 1, 3, 4 and 6. And whilst this is happening, the children are going out to Sunday school. So we stand and sing to God's glory. May Jesus Christ be praised. You may be wondering why Kathy's not standing up here and leading the singing this morning. Instead, you've got me. Well, I need to tell you that Kathy's mum, Betty Thomas, has had a little bit of a fall. And Kathy's on her way to see her mum now to kind of help her. She went into the hospital, but apparently she's okay. But when you have a fall, and I think she fell when she was getting in or out of the bath, and kind of hard surfaces to fall on, and it's tough, so she's gone to help her mum get herself sorted out. And if you're wondering who Betty Thomas is, Betty normally sits over here. She's usually with Jack and Rufus, the guide dog, and you know who she is. But I'm sure you will keep Betty in your prayers and pray for her healing. And I'm sure if I was to say to you right now, I want you to think of someone who needs your prayers. Think of them right now. And when we come to our private prayer time, I want you to pray real good for that person. Pray real good for that person. So we bow our heads and we join together in prayer. Let us pray. Your wisdom, O God, our Father, is so much greater than ours. We realize, Lord, that we are nothing. We are of the dust, yet you created us and you love us, Lord. And we praise you and we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for giving that we might receive. We thank you, Lord, for dying that we might live. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for rising to new life, that we may be born again and have eternal life. We confess, O God, that we are so often a people who want the good things of life without the struggle and the effort to achieve them. We want Easter without Good Friday, the empty tomb without the cross, the fellowship of the family without the discipline of discipleship. Help us, Lord, to overcome our greed and our fears, and to walk more closely the path that our Lord Jesus shows us. We are on the way again, Lord, into our time of busyness, the time of new schooling, of new activities in our church and in our communities. And we ask you, Father, to guide us and to bless us in our activities, that we do what you would have us to do, both here in this sanctuary of your most holy presence, among our brothers and sisters of this church family, and also in the community and in the world beyond this special place. Indeed, Lord, help us to seek and to serve you without counting the cost, and so to bring your power and your glory to light in our lives and in the life of the world. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all of these, our friends, who surround us right now. Lord, you bring joy to our hearts through these people. You enrich our being, and you bless our souls. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask you to bless our church and our family who worship here. Bless our homes and our families. And grant to us, to each of us, Lord, your peace. And we ask you, Father, to hear now our silent prayers for those situations and those people you have most especially placed upon our hearts and in our minds right now at this holy time. Lord, hear our silent prayers as we lift them up to you in silence right now. Almighty God, our Holy Father, we pray for peace on earth. We pray for peace in the hearts and minds of men and women everywhere, especially where there is hatred and mistrust. Especially in those parts of the world, Lord, which are even now torn apart by all kinds of uprisings for all kinds of different reasons. And we pray, Lord, for peace for ourselves. As we worship you here in the beauty of holiness, we pray, Father, that we may remain in the peace and the holiness of your glorious presence, and that we may reflect your glory to all that we encounter in this week ahead. We ask you, Lord God, our Father, to hear our prayers, for we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
Our scripture reading from the Gospel is from St. Mark and is entitled, Jesus Predicts His Death. Jesus and his disciples went to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to him along with the disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." And the epistle is from James, and it is regarding taming the tongue. "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, is able to keep. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water.
Thanks to Betty Ann for those readings from the scriptures. Some pretty tough words there from the Word of God in both the Gospel and the Epistle readings. Kind of makes you shudder when you read some of these things, and we kind of look at ourselves and our own lives and how we live. We stand again and we sing to the glory of God, the hymn number 450, Lord, Speak to Me. Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. On a tombstone in an English country cemetery, there is the name of the deceased, Lady Arabella Young. The deceased lady, Arabella Young. And under her name is her epitaph. And this is what it says. Beneath this stone, a lump of clay, lies Arabella Young, who this year on the 24th of May began to hold her tongue. I wonder who wrote that epitaph. Last week, our lectionary scripture readings directed us very strongly to think about listening and how, if we really listen hard to people, we hear them and they see us as real people. And they help to see God in a different light because we listen to people and we can see God in that person. Today's lectionary, as especially the one from St. James, directs us to another part of our facial anatomy and serves up some pretty severe warnings of the great mess that our tongue can get us into. I recall from years gone by, and I'm sure you will, this little gem of wisdom. The good Lord, in his great wisdom, when he made us, gave us two ears, two eyes, but only one tongue. And that apparently is the order in which they are intended to be used. Mother Teresa spoke many kindly and wise words. She was a simple living person who had a simple lifestyle, yet her words were wise and deeply profound. Kind words can be short and easy to speak, she said, but their echoes are truly endless. Their echoes are truly endless. Our words, once spoken, are endless. But as James says in that lectionary reading from the epistles, out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. And as Mother Teresa says, their echoes are truly endless. And sadly, the endlessness of our words is equally applicable to our curses as it is to our praises. And our curses or our bad words very quickly erase the praises. It is told that a woman went to St. Francis of Assisi and she asked what she must do to be forgiven for her gossiping. And St. Francis told her to take feathers and to place one feather on the doorstep of everyone she had spoken ill of in the town. And this she did. And she returned to St. Francis and she said, "Now what must I do?" And he told her to go and retrieve all of those feathers. And when she attempted to do that, they were gone. They were blown away. And so she returned to St. Francis and told him about the feathers being gone. And he said to her, "You wish to repent and be forgiven of your sin, and that is good, but the damage of your tongue is done and cannot be taken back." I'm sure you all remember the childhood rhyme that we all used to say about name calling. You know the one about sticks and stones? "Sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but words will never hurt me." But it's not true. It just is not true. Harsh words, gossip, names used wrongly are deadly. They are like poison darts and they do hurt. William Shakespeare knew of the power of words when he wrote, "He who takes from me my good name takes that which enriches him, but makes me poor indeed." St. Augustine wrote years ago that a preacher is anyone who proclaims Christ to the world, so I guess that's all of us. A preacher is a vendor of words. And he said, because of this teaching in St. James about the tongue, it frightened him a great deal. But it gets worse. Because in verse 8 of that reading from James, he writes, "But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of poison." No one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of poison. The great preacher Charles Spurgeon concluded, "Tongue sins are great sins." And another great preacher, John Calvin, wrote, "The only thing more damaging than a loose cannon is a slippery and loose tongue." Wow. We opened the Word of God today and we read those words from St. James, chapter 3 and verses 1 to 12, in which we see that the problems of the tongue and communicating properly are not new problems. They are ancient as well as current problems. And as they demanded attention in the days of St. James, they demand attention and action today. The tongue needs to be controlled. Or as the popular saying is, you've got to put the brain in gear before the tongue. Put the brain in gear before the tongue. When you go to see the doctor, what's one of the first things that he asks you to do? He says, stick out your tongue. Stick out your tongue. Then he takes one of those sticks that they call a tongue depressor, and he sticks it in your mouth, and he presses down your tongue, and he wants to have a good look at the back of it. And then if you're like me, you go, you gag, right? The tongue, it seems, is a great help in determining our physical condition. And I think that St. James is saying that the same principle is at work here in our spiritual lives. Our tongue is a good guide to our maturity and our spiritual condition as Christians. And when you and I look at this portion of Scripture, the Lord, through the words of the Apostle St. James, is saying to you and I, stick out your tongue. Stick out your tongue. As it says in the Talmud, the tongue is the pen of the heart. The tongue is the pen of the heart. Then James goes on to demonstrate that although the tongue is small, it has huge and powerful influence over the rest of the body. It may only weigh a few ounces, but it can land us in a ton of trouble, and it can cause a ton of damage. And I think it's interesting the images that James uses in describing how much power the tongue has. And in verse 2, it is compared to a bit in the mouth of a horse. A horse, out of control, is a pretty scary thing. It's a big, strong animal. But a small thing like a bit controls it. It controls the beast. In verse 4, it is compared to the rudder of a large ship. That small little part on the back of the ship that steers the ship, and that tall, small little bit here that steers the whole body. And in verse 5, it is the spark that can set the whole forest fire burning. Every day we turn on the news and we hear about fires which are raging in forests. And what are they caused by? Something very, very small. Some tiny little spark which came from wherever. And then in verse 8, as we've already referred to, James writes, no one, no person can tame the tongue. But I think we've also got to remember that the things that are impossible to man are possible with God. Only when the tongue is under the power and the control of the Holy Spirit can it be used as God intends it to be, to heal and not to hurt. In our own strength, we are incapable of overcoming the power of evil and of the devil, which is really what's going on and is the center of things in our loose tongues. But along with the Apostle St. Paul, he wrote to the Philippians in chapter 4, verse 13, he said, we can do all things in the power of Christ who strengthens us. Just like Paul, we also can do all things in the power of Christ that strengthens us. Christ is the answer. No matter what the problem is, Christ is the answer. Proverbs 12:18 says, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. In which camp does your tongue belong? And then in the gospel reading from St. Mark chapter 8, Jesus rebukes Peter and his tongue quite strongly. Get behind me, Satan, he says, when Peter shoots off his mouth about human and not divine things. And Jesus quite strongly tells Peter to hold his tongue because he doesn't know what he's talking about and the devil is using him. And this, after that same tongue had just spoken those most blessed words from God, Jesus said, Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah. And so we say, as James tells us, out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. St. Peter, a disciple of the Lord, and almost in the same conversation, out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. And his intentions were probably the best ever. Four physicians were debating which part of the body was the most important to life. And as they could not agree, they consulted a friend of theirs who was a rabbi to give his opinion. Of course, the heart and the blood vessels are the most important, for on them the whole of life depends, said the first one. No, 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 not at all, said the second. It is the brain and the nerves which are most vital. Without them, even the heart wouldn't work, it wouldn't beat. The third said, nonsense, you are both quite wrong. It is the stomach and the digestive passages which are the most important. If we do not get the proper digestion of our food, the body will die. And the fourth was equally adamant that the lungs were what kept the body going. Nothing, he said, can live without air. And the rabbi gave his opinion. And he said, I'm afraid you're all wrong. For there are only two vessels of the body that are important, but you seem to have no knowledge of them. One is the channel that runs from the ear to the soul. The other is the channel that runs from the soul to the tongue. And this is the same anatomy lesson that the apostle Dr. St. James in chapter 3, 1 to 12 is sharing with us today. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. It goes right to your soul. Be careful, little tongue, what you say. It reveals the condition of your soul. I think farmers call it foot and mouth disease. A variation of the old proverb says, a closed mouth gathers no foot. A closed mouth gathers no foot. And it is said, as a person grows wiser, they talk less and say more. Every Sunday, as you well know, before I deliver the message, I pray a variation of Psalm 19 and verse 14. And we began the service with it today, and I began my message with it today. And Psalm 19 verse 14 says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I suggest you write down Psalm 19 and verse 14. It is a perfect way to begin every single day of our lives. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our closing hymns, first of all, hymn number 604, Saviour, again to thy dear name. We stand and sing to his glory.
Thank you.
Just before we sing 312, let me just remind you, if you need a reminding, that today is the day that many, many people are taking part in the Terry Fox run and walk, and people are doing all they can to raise money for that great cause that he gave himself to. So perhaps you could say a little prayer for all of these people. There's some of our own church family are racing away from here to take part in the Terry Fox run. So we stand now and we sing to God's glory 312, to be God's people.
Son of a dying world that needs your love and care, we see the need, the yearning for a Savior. In Jesus' name, grant this our prayer, to be God's people in this place. Children that our lives may be a beacon in this darkness that surrounds us, a light that others then may see, to be God's people in this place, live His goodness, share His grace, proclaim God's mercy through His Son, be His love to everyone.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love this day and forevermore.
Amen. Amen.